fakes the handoff. He drives the lane. He takes it to the house. Bouncing on defenders. He just laid it in. He just put it up and in. 56 seconds to play. Oh, by the way.
It's time. Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
Game 7 is over. It's an instant classic.
It's the TC Martin Show.
A three for the game.
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor, T.C. Martin.
You gotta pinch me!
The doctor is now in.
Thunderous Thursday, oh yeah! We got a name for just about every day of the week, huh? Which is really good. I like the Thunderous Thursday. You signing off on Thunderous Thursday?
Yeah, it's fine. I called you out the one day you didn't do it, so.
That's true, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
I like Whacked Out Wednesday, though.
Yeah, I don't know about
follows
that.
Follows a terrible Tuesday. Whacked Out Wednesday.
Whacked Out?
Freaky Friday.
Freaky Friday's good.
Yeah, but that was a crappy movie with Lindsay Lohan, wasn't it?
Yeah. So that's really your genre. No doubt.
I'm sure. You know what, though? I saw that your daughter recently had a birthday, so I'm sure that when she was a younger kid, that was probably a movie that was on quite a bit in the T.C. Martin household.
Oh, it was big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Because she's about that age where she would have really liked that movie.
All of those Disney classics, 10, 12 years ago.
The one with Jamie Lee Curtis. Was that Freaky Friday, too? Lindsay Lohan, Jamie Lee Curtis?
I believe. Yeah,
I know they did one together, right? Yeah. Where it was either like parent swap or something like that.
You know when I was doing my show prep today?
You didn't think you'd be talking about Freaky Friday with
Never
Lindsay
thought
Lohan.
Freaky Friday or Jamie Lee Curtis. Maybe Jamie Lee Curtis would come in when it comes to, you know, Trading Places. But not about that.
Yes. Speaking of.
Which you never even seen still.
I have seen it. Yeah, I remember that one. I remember
because it's Inga from Sweden reference.
You know, it was one of those movies that used to come on WPIX in New York all the time when I was a kid.
Channel 5, by the way.
No, that's Channel 11. WPIX was the independent station.
Really?
But, yeah.
Was Channel 5.
No, Channel 5 was Fox in New York. But
okay.
WPIX was the Yankee station when I was a kid.
Right.
WWOR, Channel 9, was the Met station. Now they've
Secaucus,
swapped.
New Jersey.
Yes, exactly. Secaucus, New Jersey, WWOR. But they always used to show that movie, but it was full of commercials. So, you know, as a kid, you lose interest, even though it's a good movie. But you'll be impressed. You know what I watched last night? You would never guess in a million years. I will tell you this. It's in your wheelhouse, and it's a show that I'm sure you're a big fan of.
A show or a movie?
It's a show.
It's a show.
From, I think it was in the 60s.
60s?
Yeah.
Why would it be comedy?
It was a comedy.
The Munsters?
No. There was a Colonel Klink.
Colonel Klink, Hogan's Heroes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually watched an episode of Hogan's Heroes.
That bleeded more into the 70s. But
was it? Okay.
Yeah, Hogan's Heroes, fantastic.
It was a good show. It was funny. It was entertaining. Oh, yeah. It was on a channel that I'll have to watch a little bit more.
Yeah, you kind of remind me of Schultz. If you had a mustache, you'd remind me of Schultz. He was the fat guy. Yes! Okay.
The guy who was Colonel Klink's sidekick.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a pretty entertaining episode. Yeah. I had never really watched a full episode of Hogan's Heroes before.
What are you missing? I mean, that, Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, Lost in Space, The Munsters.
Well, you know what I like.
I mean, come on, man.
I like
Get
Bonanza.
Smart.
I like Bonanza, yeah. The Rifleman. And
you should save all that stuff for Cartwright next time he comes on. Tell him you watch Hogan's Heroes. You'll probably get a big rise out of him for that.
You think he's a big fan? He likes Hogan's Heroes?
Oh, I know. He loves all those shows you're talking about.
He's got good TV habits.
Yeah. The sillier they are, the better.
But he's not a fan of The Munsters, right?
I think, he likes The Munsters. Yeah, he likes all those shows we like. But he liked more of the Westerns than I did.
I like Westerns, too. Westerns are good. Even Western movies. Like, you know what? I have zero interest in being a cowboy, but I like Western movies.
Listen, there's only one Western movie that I liked, plain and simple.
The Good, the Bad, the Ugly?
No.
Django Unchained?
Well, that would be number two, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Blazing Saddles.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a classic.
That's what I'm saying. That's it. Other than that, I'm not going to watch any of the other stuff. No John Wayne old movies, none of that stuff.
Oh, but
Blazing Saddles are nothing.
Those are the one I watched the other night was Charles Bronson was in it, and it was like a train robbery.
Yeah, Charles Bronson. Yeah.
Yeah, Charles Bronson.
My dad used to watch all those things.
The Delta Force, too. No, that was Chuck Norris. Charles Bronson Charles Bronson was in like a couple of those Vietnam movies, too, that Chuck Norris was in.
All right. You know, I was show prepping today. I had no idea that we were going to be talking about Freaky Friday, Jamie Lee Curtis, or old Westerns that I could care less about.
Yes, Cartwright. Cartwright would be a big fan of me if he was on
You're just killing me. What do you think? We have a 3 or 4 hour show?
I wish.
Just so you could talk more about nonsensical television?
I was actually thinking about Cartwright today.
Cartwright as in Bonanza or Cartwright as in the seven-footer?
Cartwright as in the big seven-footer, five-time NBA champ.
Or Cartwright as in Seinfeld.
No, not that Cartwright.
Okay.
No, I was thinking about the seven-footer because I saw it scroll across the TV. USF 17-5 is in the kennel tonight taking on Gonzaga.
Exactly. And you know what that point spread is?
18.5.
Exactly.
It's in Spokane, I think, right?
It is.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Because remember, they played him tough. It wore
Memorial. That's right. I watched that. I watched that game.
Played him tough. Game was tied with 3 minutes to go. Then Gonzaga just went on this ridiculous run, and they won by 13. So the score not indicative of how close that game was. So tonight, a rather large line. It'll be interesting to see how Gonzaga operates tonight. And I think a lot of people are thinking, oh, hey, if USF could keep it within, you know, basically striking distance where they had the lead, one possession game basically throughout, you know, pretty much 37 of the 40 minutes when they played a couple weeks ago at USF, that they could, you know, cover 18.5. But Gonzaga is kind of a weird team. You go up there and play on their home court.
As you mentioned, different animal at home.
Yeah, but 18.5 is still a pretty big number. So, yeah, I was gonna touch base with him about that today too. I know he's all excited about that. So
I hope they win. It'd be great for the program.
It would be fantastic for the program, but I can tell you they're probably not going to win tonight.
Well, of course not. I mean, it's a tall task.
I know, but they are good, and I am looking forward to seeing them play here at the Orleans when they come for the WCC tournament.
Yeah, it's only a couple weeks away.
They actually have a legit shot of making the semifinals and maybe even making it to the finals.
Well, they only have to win one game to make the semifinals.
Yeah, right. So, and they struggle with Gonzaga, even though they played them very, very tough, but they have St. Mary's number this year.
And they're better than BYU?
They split against St. Mary's, but they're better than BYU. So really, when you look at the WCC, it's always Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and then there's that drop-off. And okay, then there's BYU, and then who's that other fourth team that kind of sneaks into the semis every year?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, St. Mary's is not a slam dunk this year. St. Mary's could get upset right away. They're not playing good ball at all.
No, they're not. Probably the worst team Randy Bennett's had in a long time there.
Yeah. All right, so back to what we were saying on the Thunderous Thursday. So since we're talking college basketball, Tracy Murray is going to join us a little bit later on, so hang tight for that. NBA trade deadline comes and goes. Plenty of trades to talk about, so we'll get into that with Tracy. We'll go right down the list, and then we'll talk to Tracy about the Lakers situation. Of course, Tracy, the voice of the UCLA radio network. The Bruins lost again last night. A lot of problems there, but also got to remember Tracy Murray, former assistant coach with the Lakers, a few years back as well, so still very close to that organization. So love talking with Tracy regarding all the Lakers drama, so we'll touch upon that with him a little bit later on. All right, but let's start talking about UNLV, and you can join the program here if you'd like. 876-1340, the phone number, 876-1340. If you watched the game against Boise State last night, UNLV trailed through much of this game, especially the first half, where they fell behind by 10 points, rallied back to end a five-game losing streak in Boise. Actually, they had lost the last four in a row to Boise overall, home and away. But 83-72, UNLV comes from behind, gets an 11-point victory as a 5.5-point road underdog last night. They get the job done. And why did UNLV win that game last night? Well, because they made their threes. 14 for 26 beyond the arc. They shot 54%. Nora Botham, 21 points, 10 assists. You know, here's your point guard. It's kind of weird that we are into this now. Let's see. UNLV has played 22 games, and it is the first double-double for your point guard. Seems rather strange, but Robotham is probably the key reason why UNLV won last night. I don't know if you watched the game or not. It was on ESPNU last night, or you listened to it on our sister station, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM last night here. But, yeah, UNLV, they rallied, and this has kind of been the story with UNLV, is that when they shoot the ball well, they're going to win games. Now, they shoot the ball way too much from three. They live and die by the three. And when we're talking about UNLV victories, it usually is about them hitting their threes. And when they shoot a miserable percentage like they did against Nevada last week, then they get blasted and then get blown out. So we know this is a topical conversation. People want to throw Marvin Menzies in the mix here, and they want to talk about, well, is he going to keep his job or not? You know, I don't want to talk about that right now. And, of course, I like Marvin. We've talked about this before. But bottom line is he is going to be reviewed at the end by Desiree Reed Francois, and to see if he will keep his job or not. And there are people on both sides of that, whether he should continue to have a job, not happy with the current results. UNLV sits at fourth place right now. They're 6-4 in conference, 12-10. Not a very good conference, as we've talked about time and time again. But they get credit last night because they had an 11-point victory on the road where a place they have not won in 7 years. Is Boise State a great team? No. They're a middle-of-the-pack 500 team. Not even really a 500 team. They're not a great team, but it is tough to win up there. And anytime that you can beat a team in your conference on a road, a place where you have had very little success, it's a great win. But I'll tell you what, this win last night doesn't mean anything if you can't beat Fresno State on your home floor on Saturday. And you've got to start piling up wins now. Okay, you've got to be able to finish in the top three in your conference so you get a decent seed in the conference tournament that they host at the Thomas and Mack Center. So Saturday, Fresno State. Here's a team that got beat at home by Utah State. Fresno State is probably slightly better than Boise, not quite as good as Utah State, but Fresno State plays a lot of close and tough games. Not a great offensive team, but a very good defensive team. So we'll see what happens here. But congrats to the Rebels for getting the victory last night. Your thoughts, if you watched the game, I want to hear from you. All right, 876-1340. Give me your thoughts on UNLV's performance last night and a look ahead to Saturday at Fresno State. Let's go to the phones, talk to Brian. Brian, what's going on, partner?
What's going on, TC? How you doing?
Good, man. What's shaking?
Well, first of all, I listen to the show all the time. Obviously, I'm on my way into work. So, and I heard you wanting to bring up the conversation of UNLV and just basically kind of give them a little bit of credit for winning a game last night, a place they hadn't won in a long time. And I have to echo those comments, man. I mean, anytime you win on the road, as far as in any conference, it's a good win. I mean, you know, like I know, like teams lose on the road in their conference, regardless of what conference they play in. So, you know, I thought it was a very good win. But I agree with you as well, the fact that huge game this weekend versus Fresno State, a game in which they really need to beat a team that's ahead of them in the standings, because all the wins that they have thus far this season are against teams that are less than them.
Right, right, exactly. And, you know, there's a really disturbing trend out there. Actually, it's a stat where if you look at UNLV's Ken Palm rating, when they faced teams in the top 100, they're 3-25 this year. That's not good. That's and that's a fact. I mean, that's just not conjecture there. I mean, that is a plain cold fact. And they haven't beaten any real good teams this year, whether it's conference or non-conference, and it's definitely a concern. And
I would agree.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. It's just, you know, this team for me, it's very difficult to get a hold on, especially from a handicapping perspective here, to know exactly what, you know, which UNLV team is going to show up. And it's pretty simple. Yeah, for my liking, they do not have a good three-point shooting team, and they rely too heavily on the three. So for a team that really doesn't have, quote-unquote, you know, prototypical good three-point shooters, to put the ball up as much as they put up, especially early in the shot clock, Brian, that's a concern for me. But they won last night because they hit 54%. If they don't hit that, they probably lose by double digits.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say this, too. A few things to look at. One of the reasons why they won is they got contribution from a point guard who hasn't contributed all season for the most part.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Natombwe didn't have a very good game, and he's one of their leading scorers, so that's one reason why they won. But I will say this as well. Think about the fact that they shoot a lot of three-pointers, and they almost have to. They have no inside game. Zero. Zero inside game. I mean, they need to go to the rack, but who are they going to dump the ball to and try to score a basket from the post? And the Natombwe is the only person on this team that has any kind of post game.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, what are they left with? How are they supposed to score? If teams play a zone against them, I mean, that's basically what you have to do against a zone, at least, you know, get the ball to the elbow and try to get it down on the post. But anytime they do that, their post players can barely catch they don't finish well near the
right.
rim.
Okay. Let me say this. You bring up a very good point, a valid point. But let's go back to when Justin was healthy. Remember, yeah. we were sitting there complaining about why isn't Justin more effective, you know, scoring, especially in the low block, and they didn't go to. It's just because of what Marvin's offense pretty much is. You know, it's really reliant on the perimeter, and it's, you know, he doesn't have those same type of guys that can break down the defense like he had last year with Jovan Mohring and other people like that. He's had the last couple seasons, so it's just it's different. And when Joel is outside and he's settling for those threes, I want to see him more, especially when he is the guy, the lone guy that actually has decent footwork and has some good low post game. I want to see him more in that role. But now we don't even see him out there whatsoever. They are strictly a perimeter team. And you know, I mean, you're not going to win games being
live and die
by that. You're not going to do it when you're a strictly a perimeter team. You're going to have some good nights, and that'll give you some hope. But then you're going to get broken down, and you're going to lose to teams that you shouldn't lose to, which we've seen already before. So
yeah, I agree. And one other thing I would bring up, if you're talking about, you know, UNLV and as far as like the teams that they have defeated, I don't know how many teams have they played that are in the top 100. Besides what Nevada, I mean, and you can really only beat whoever you play in Nevada. I mean, obviously they're way far less talented than them, but I'd say probably their best win this season, which isn't great, is BYU. BYU is a top 100 team.
Well, which,
I just looked it up.
Yeah,
but, they're 100.
Right.
And they beat them. They beat them without Shakur the first time that they learned that he was not going to be with the team. I mean, he doesn't hurt the team. He only helps. So.
But as you know, BYU is not a tournament team. They're probably not even going to be an NIT team. And we were just talking about the WCC tournament. BYU, they're not even really a top four team in their own conference. So
I think they're three.
Yeah,
I think they're three or two. But no, you're right. I mean, who have they played that's actually any good?
No, you're right. You're right. Exactly. You know. You're right. I mean, nobody. I mean, we can't even point to Illinois, even though Illinois got a couple nice
Cincinnati's
wins.
Cincinnati's not a bad team.
Yeah, but
there
again,
there you go. Cincinnati's
it's a good team. But again, we're talking about you know, beating teams, and they're not doing that. I mean, I think it's kind of doesn't make sense for us to talk about teams that they've lost to that are actually pretty good teams. So, you know, to me, you got to win. You got to win, right? I mean, we're in the day age. We're not looking.
Play the game, I guess, right?
We're not looking for moral victories here,
yeah,
right?
But the thing is, this team hit a crossroads. I think after that loss to Bucknell, and they could have packed it in at that point, and they didn't.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, look, they played Cincinnati tough. They gave them a game. They played Illinois tough. Look, you're playing a team that has 11 freshmen and sophomores. You know,
that's the big thing that no one talks about. Like, if you have a team, show me any team in the country that has two seniors that play. And the rest are freshmen and sophomore for the most part. And I'll tell you a team that's going to play inconsistent and really going to be at the bottom of their conference.
Right.
Any team.
No doubt. No doubt.
Unless you're Duke.
Yeah. Well, and we got to skew this too as well too. I mean, more and more teams now are playing young because even, you know, your top tier teams are very, very young because they're losing players, you know, to the NBA. But there's very few teams that are senior laden anymore unless you're going to, say, you know, the mid-majors, you know, teams like that. So I don't know.
This is true, and I'm trying not. I'm sorry for trying to take over your show.
You're not, man. No. You're taking over. We talk. I appreciate the input, brother. You know. So
yeah.
I'm going to cut you off now anyway, so don't worry about it.
Okay. Cool. but I would say this. I mean, you have your Dukes, you have your Kentuckys, but other than that, I mean, really, what teams do not have juniors, at least juniors, on their team? That are contributing, that have actually built a program for at least, you know, 2 to 3 years. I mean, really, we hear about the Duke and Kentucky, but who else? I mean, if you look at Gonzaga, look at the players that are on their team. It's not like they're riddled with freshmen that are killing it. I mean, they have mid to upperclassmen like you have to have in college basketball. And UNLV, they're not going to get by with one and done. You know, I mean, they're a team that has to have like senior laden or upperclassmen,
right.
Fresno State upperclassmen.
Well, Nevada,
upperclassmen,
big time upperclassmen, and that's why they're a top 10 team because they've got that veteran experience.
Exactly.
All right.
So I mean, yeah. All right.
Hey man, I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much for checking in, man, and keep the faith. We'll see you out at the T&M on Saturday.
All right, man. Keep doing your job, man. You're doing a great job, TC.
Thanks, Brian. Good. Appreciate it, man. There it is. All right, Brian Salmon does a fantastic job over at Channel 3. Check him out every night. And dressed the most dapper of any sports anchor, bar none. Plain and simple. But good job for him. All right, so I know you got an opinion on this as well, too, with UNLV. So let's hit this real quick before we go to Tracy.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think people just need to be patient. You know, it's a very young team, and my opinion on this team has swayed over the course of the season, because early on I was like, this is bad, this is a disaster. But as I've watched these kids play, the emergence of Joel Tomway, Robotham really pick up his game the last couple games, Hardy coming in and playing pretty well for a really young guy. I mean, he's only a sophomore, right? So you have this team that's built to compete a couple years down the road. Marvin Menzies is laying the foundation today for something that's going to be good in a couple of years. I mean, there's progress being made. I mean, look, this team really struggled on the road last year, right? I mean, everyone says, oh, well, they won 20 games last year, but they weren't that good.
No.
You know, they couldn't win the tough games.
And majority of the schedule was pretty soft,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, what did they play like? They played a couple
heavy
teams
hitters, but that was it, yeah.
Yeah, but then they played a bunch of teams in like, the 300s. Yeah. Year one, there was zero chance of anyone being successful in year one because of what transpired. But, you know, the thing is that this team is making progress, and I see a lot of really young guys. I see them playing hard. I see them going into tough places. Look, it's not easy. Everyone penciled New Mexico in as a top three team. Everyone said New Mexico.
Until the season started. Until you actually watched them and saw how horrible they are.
Until they lost by 45 to New Mexico State or whatever it was.
Right.
But UNLV beat them twice.
Yeah.
They just beat San Diego State. Outside of Reno, there really isn't any. And I think Utah State's a pretty good team.
They are a very good team. Yeah, they're number two. There's no question.
But those are the two. I think UNLV could beat Fresno on Saturday.
Well, here's the thing. Aside from Nevada, anybody can beat anybody.
Yeah.
That New Mexico-San Diego State game was crazy. I talked about
it
yesterday.
New Mexico took care of business, they beat San Diego State.
They were getting drilled for the first half, and then both teams went on these psychotic runs, 7-0, 9-0, 10-0, 13-0. They each had those type of runs, and then in the second half, San Diego State just disappeared.
Yeah.
But this is what this conference is. You have inconsistent teams across the board. And Nevada, as we've seen, they can not show up some nights, too, because they rely on the three as well.
Yeah.
That's why, in my opinion, Nevada's not going to go deep in the tournament. They're going to have a nice seed. There's going to be no excuse for their first-round victory and then their second game. Well, okay, but after that, there's no guarantee with them whatsoever. This conference is so inconsistent from top to bottom.
And I don't think Reno is going to get a top two seed.
Probably not.
Committee generally doesn't really give a school like that.
Well, you're not playing anybody.
That's what they're going to look at.
They don't have a tough non-conference schedule.
Look, Gonzaga had to, for years, go out and consistently earn those high seeds.
Right.
For Reno, they may think they deserve a top two seed. My guess is they're probably going to be in the four range.
They should be. That's where they should be. Again, if the committee's going to stay true and stay consistent, you know, you're not going to reward people for playing soft non-conference schedules. Tracy Murray's going to join us. We'll touch on UCLA with him, but more importantly, NBA trade deadline come and gone. There's been some deals. There's been some moves. We'll talk about that when we come back. NBA trade deadline. It has come. It is gone. And we had some trades. Be interesting to still see if we get some activity here. And I know Danny Ainge is trying to work on something here. So we'll see. Just because the trade deadline is gone doesn't mean that there's still going to be some player movement. So we'll see what happens with that. All right, we're going to bring in our good friend down in L.A. and does a fantastic job with UCLA Bruins Radio Network with a color commentary. And, of course, the former NBA champion himself, Tracy Murray. What's up, Trace?
What's going on, TC? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm probably doing a little bit better than you because you had to sit there and call that loss last night at home against the Colorado Buffaloes, man. What is going on with your Bruins?
Young, not really knowing how to play, not knowing what they're good at. You know, I mean, coaching changes, buying in. There's a whole lot of stuff that's going on right now.
and I don't know if it's going to get any better.
Man, that is such a strange situation. Again, you know, when you lose your coach, basically a fourth into the season, and now you got the interim tag, and then, you know, as we talked about before, I mean, there's some talent, you know, on that UCLA team. And when Alford left, we saw the Bruins actually answer with, what, 2-3, 4 wins in a row? And then now we get to conference play, and it's like, it's getting pretty ugly. So what is the mindset of that locker room right now?
I'm not in the locker room so much, so I really don't know what they're thinking, but I know what I see. The Bruins look good on paper. You know, they're the second tallest team in the nation. You know, you look at them and you're like, oh, man, we're not going to – if you look at them warm up, we're not going to beat that team. But you have to have some type of basketball IQ. You have to want to be good. You have to want to work hard. You got to want to play defense. If you don't have any want-tos, then all of that goes to waste.
All right. All right, Tracy, let's talk about the NBA trade deadline here. So the Lakers trade Michael Beasley and Ivaka Zubac to the Clippers for Mike Muscala. You know, all this talk about the Lakers trying to get Anthony Davis, and we'll get into the Davis situation here in a minute. But then we hear about the Luke Walton issues with some of the veteran players. Beasley was one of those. Obviously, the Lakers have definitely underperformed. Understand LeBron James has been injured, but still this team on the outside looking in from a playoff spot right now. Just talk a little bit about the Lakers and that situation and Luke Walton.
It's not a good situation. You know, not right now. I mean, that's why they were trying to make a move to get somebody to help LeBron. So the pieces around those two will finally be able to be triggered, you know, and depending on how many of those pieces they kept. LeBron needs another star, plain and simple. And he needs another star that complements him. And in my opinion, there's only two stars out there that complement him, and that's Klay Thompson and that's Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis, from a big man point of view, who can play the four and can be versatile and make plays and score the basketball and assist on plays as well. Klay Thompson would be the guy that can flat out just shoot the ball and get you points from the perimeter or just scoring the basketball while LeBron is facilitating and taking some time off from scoring. Those are the only two guys, in my opinion, that's not pounding the air out the ball or creating. You know, those guys complement LeBron well.
Right, right. You know, a guy that is going to get mentioned, if he hasn't already, and that is Carmelo Anthony, who's making his way around the NBA. And, of course, LeBron James said, hey, he's my guy. I would love to have him there. Any way that Carmelo Anthony ends up as a Laker, you think?
I don't know, but I don't think that really compliments
right.
LeBron.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Because Melo, he's not a spot-up shooter, especially at this stage of his career. He's not a spot-up shooter. He's a guy that still can get you one-on-one stuff from 19 on in. And are you going to play ISO ball? Or I don't think that's going to work with the Lakers. You know, and I love Melo. You know, I've always liked his game. I've always liked him as a person. You know, I feel bad for what's going on with him. But I don't think that, you know, at this point it complements the Lakers.
You know, the Lakers every team really needs some type of inside presence. And actually, Zubac was actually playing pretty well for the Lakers. And I was a little bit shocked to see him go, but I guess that he was probably that piece where, you know, the Clippers said, hey, that's the guy that we want to have here. But I don't know, you know, getting Muscala for Zubac and Beasley, and I understand, you know, why Beasley went. Beasley will probably end up just getting waived by the Clippers anyway. Just speak a little bit about Zubac being gone.
I think that trade was basically to get rid of Beasley, you know, to get Beasley out of Walton's hair. I think that's what that was all about, especially after the big spat last week where veterans, you know, were kind of huffy and puffy with Walton in the locker room. I think that might have been the result of that. They have to give up somebody with Beasley in order for it to work, and it happened to be Zubac, is probably a guy that they wanted out of everybody. I thought the Clippers got the better of the deal, in my opinion. You got a young Zubac who was playing well. And then you get Michael Bisley. If you keep him, he can put points on the board.
All right. All right, Tracy Murray joined us. Tracy, let's talk about your boy, and of course I'm laughing as I say this, and you are too, about LeVar Ball. He's back in the news. He went off again, and speaking of Luke Walton, I'll read you the quote here, especially for our listeners, talking about Lonzo not being happy in a Lakers uniform. His quote is, he's a better fit in Phoenix because they've got some young athletes. They've been losing. They need a winning attitude. The Lakers gave my boy that losing attitude. If you look at my boys, the one thing they do is win. My boys don't lose too much. When he got to the Lakers, Luke Walton was the worst coach ever for Lonzo because he had a losing mentality. They've been losing there for years. That's how you develop losing. Some pretty strong words, but of course, we consider the source of LeVar Ball, who's been pretty silent during the last 5 or 6 months or so. And of course, you know him, the family, very, very well. Saw Lonzo play at UCLA. You've been around that situation. What do you make when you hear these comments?
I guess he broke the gag order.
Yeah, right, right.
No one loses in high school. When if you're the best player on your team, you don't. You know, I didn't lose in high school. Lonzo didn't lose in high school. My brother didn't lose in high school. No, nobody loses in high school, okay?
Right.
We go up to college. You go to the best university. You're not going to lose in college. I didn't lose in college. My brother didn't lose in college. It's like, who doesn't lose until they get to the NBA if you're fortunate enough to get that far? You know, we all have winning mentality, or else we wouldn't get this far. As far as Luke Walton goes, I have my own issues with Luke Walton, and it has nothing to do with what he's doing with the Lakers. You know, mine is a little bit more of how he dealt with me. So it's not, I'm not going to just jump on his side about how he's playing Lonzo and this and that and the other. There are things that he can control that has nothing to do with Luke, like not shooting 40% from the free throw line, getting better on your jump shooting. We know Lonzo can play. He is a pro. I like Lonzo's game because he makes everybody around him better. But, I mean, with him coming back into the forefront and start talking again, he's going to make it tough on Lonzo, man. Who the next team that – if Lonzo's moved this summer and he has a year left on his contract, you're messing with him now being re-signed by the team or anybody else signing him. Brandon
Ingram?
Haywood.
Oh, Haywood, yeah.
Brandon Haywood mentioned that be careful or else Lonzo's going to be playing in Peru. And you know what? It's true. This is a league where you can get blackballed for talking too much. And it's like I'm all for freedom of speech. I'm all for supporting your kids. But it's you're putting pressure on people to blackball Lonzo. And he's too good of a kid to be blackballed. You know, he deserves to be here. And he's got to be really careful about what he's saying because of that. You know, and that's why, you know, everybody's like, you know, chill, relax, you know, sit back, because they want to see Lonzo flourish. They want to see him be the guy that he's capable of being in the NBA. But it's hard when you got the undercurrent. You mean well, but you're really hurting him.
Well, we kind of knew this was going to happen, and sure enough, it's happening. Hey, back to Luke Walton. Does he have what it takes to be a successful coach in this league?
I don't know. I'm not in the locker room with him. I can't tell you that.
I know, but you're a veteran.
And I told him this when he took the Lakers job. I'm like, look, this is not Golden State. You know, this is not an already made team that's an autopilot with winning championships. Is going to be a little bit more of a challenge. You know, so, you know, good luck with it, because it's a difficult team when you got a bunch of people that are trying to prove themselves, and you got a bunch of young players. And now you acquire LeBron, and LeBron, oh, by the way, was the number one pick in your draft. You think he's going to listen to you? You know, so I don't know how he's going to be honest with you.
All right, let's look at some of the moves here. Philly sends former number one overall pick Markelle Fultz, a guy that you got a chance to watch quite a bit when he was at the University of Washington. Mm-hmm. He goes to Orlando for Jonathan Simmons. kind of crazy. Number one overall. And again, personally, I think that was kind of a stretch for making him the number one overall, considering, you know, the liabilities that he has. But now he's gone. What's the future for Markelle Fultz?
If he don't get his mind right and block out the mental part of what's going on with him, it's going to be a short stay. I mean, right? He was a really good player at Washington before the injury and before the mental side of it got into play. He's got to man up mentally and push through whatever he's going through and find his shot. Because if he doesn't, it's going to be a short stay. He's a below average player if he can't score the basketball.
Right. Memphis trades Mark Gasol to Toronto. So Toronto really getting loaded up here for the stretch run and getting a veteran like Gasol. Your thoughts about that move?
Well, you get a veteran, you know, that's been kind of injured a little bit. A little bit older now. You would like to have him about 5 years ago. I don't know how it's going to help the Raptors, because you're getting rid of a young Valanciunas, you're getting rid of DeLon Wright, who's coming to his own, and then you get rid of a good veteran of C.J. Miles. I think they lost too much to gain Gasol.
Right, got rid of some younger guys for a 34-year-old, and who knows how much he's got left, too.
And has EuroLeague miles on him, too.
Right, exactly. All right, Tracy Murray joined us. All right, Tracy, finally, Anthony Davis wants out of New Orleans, didn't get out of New Orleans. What's going to happen with him and this situation with him and this current team? We see that Alvin Gentry has been very slow to put him back in the lineup. We know that he has been injured. But give us your take about Anthony Davis.
This is my thing. In this day and age of where top players have power over where they want to go, because they have the leverage to leave, I think they better play ball. You know, they better play ball at some point with somebody that he's interested in going to, or else he's going to completely walk away and they're going to get nothing. And you're going to see Cleveland all over again in New Orleans.
Kyrie Irving.
It's a slippery situation with him, because Boston had success without him. You know, now you're sitting up looking at, you know, they're not playing like they did last year, even though they have all the pieces in place and they're all healthy. And it's just difficult. It's just difficult to see if he's going to stay or if he's going to go. I think he's going to go because, you know, they're not playing at that level. And I'm not too sure if he really wanted to be in Boston.
Right. All right, my friend, we will let you go. We appreciate the time. As always, good insight on both sides, the NBA and the college. And we look forward to talking with you as we get a little closer to March Madness and, of course, the NBA playoffs down the road. So continue the good work with UCLA. Hopefully you guys get a win this weekend.
All right, thank you, TC. Take care, man.
You got it. There he is, Tracy Murray, the former NBA champion himself, and, of course, does a fantastic job with his alma mater on the UCLA Bruins radio network. When we come back, we've got some Major League Baseball news to talk about and the very sad news today of the passing of one of Major League Baseball's all-time greats. All right, get the CG Technology mobile app at any of the fantastic locations, the luxurious sports books at the CG Books, over at the M Resort, the Palms, the Silverton, the Venetian Palazzo, the Hard Rock, the Tropicana, and, of course, the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. It's Betty Made It Easy. It's the CG Technology mobile app. It's new. It's improved. So make sure that you go get signed up if you don't have it already at any of the great CG sports books. Literally, it takes you about 5 minutes to get signed up. So good to have an expansive betting menu, especially the in-game options. It's the CG Technology mobile app. It is betting made easy. All right. Major League Baseball news. JT Realmuto, now a Philadelphia Philly, traded basically for prospects. So when you look at the Phillies now, still no Bryce Harper, no Manny Machado. They're still looking at that. But again, earlier on now, they made some key acquisitions. So Realmuto is the fourth free agent that they signed. They got Andrew McCutchen, David Robertson, and Gene Segura. So the Phillies trying to make some moves here. And I like Realmuto. I think he is one of the best young upcoming catchers and it is definitely a plus for them.
Yeah, it is. It's a good move for the Phillies. The thing with Real Muto is he's got to stay healthy, which is something he's had an issue with the last couple seasons, staying healthy. And look, catchers obviously don't play every single day, but he's got to play the games that he's scheduled to play. And you know what? There was a point in the season where the Mets, or in the offseason, where the Marlins were talking to the Mets. Remember, there was going to be a trade where Syndergaard was going to go to the Yankees.
Yep.
And Real Muto was going to go to the Mets, and the Yankees were going to send some prospects to Florida. I hated the deal at the time for the Mets because I don't think Syndergaard is something you give up to get Real Muto in return. Syndergaard is a bona fide ace. Real Muto, as I said, a guy, maybe some durability issues. But for the Phillies to give up a lot of just a couple of prospects, I know the one prospect they gave up supposedly is but he's in single A.
Yeah.
A lot can happen between.
He's a pitcher, but he's not a flamethrower. He throws between 90 and 92, and he's a smaller guy, but they really like his stuff. But as far as Real Muto's durability, last year wasn't an issue. I mean, he played majority of the season last year, and then the year before he got hurt. But in comparison to guys like Wilson Ramos, who are always hurt, I mean, his durability is pretty darn good when you're talking about the upper echelon catchers who play on a regular basis, and a guy who basically hits around 300 or over 300.
That's just it. He's a pretty good offensive catcher, and the thing is, it's a position where there's really not a ton of guys who, I mean, it's a position where there's never really been a ton of guys who light it up. But I mean, obviously, guys like Piazza were come to mind for offensive minded catchers, but. It's a good move for the Phillies. I think I don't know if it's a move that puts them over the top, but they're certainly in that discussion in the NL East. I mean, it was them and the Braves, and unfortunately, the Nationals and the Mets kind of fallen by the wayside, and the Marlins, well, they're the Marlins. So,
right. And they're just in sell mode and in rebuild mode. And
aren't they always in sell and rebuild? I mean, it's like they should have been retracted. They never should have been given that money to build the stadium. They are arguably the biggest disgrace in all of professional sports.
And that's why Major League Baseball is going to make it work or try to make it work, because they spend all that money on the stadium, and they do have a nice stadium, but nobody shows up.
Yeah, well, the problem is it's not like it was privately funded. It was the taxpayers who put the money up.
Reluctantly.
So, the residents of South Florida are the ones who get screwed.
Yeah. All right, very sad news today. Frank Robinson passes away at the age of 83. First ballot Hall of Famer in 1982. First player to win MVP in both the American and National Leagues, 2-time World Series champion, and of course the first African American manager with the Cleveland Indians back in the 70s. And Frank Robinson just was one of those guys that everybody loved. You came in contact with Frank Robinson, he would take the time, he would shake your hand, he would talk with you, and just one of those great old school guys. Passed away way too young. 83 is way too young. And he had been in some bad health for the better part of this past year. So feel very bad for Frank and his family.
Wasn't he the president of either the National League or the American League too?
Absolutely was, yes.
Yeah, I mean, a guy who's had a really storied career. And I never got to see him play, but I remember he was part of that big red machine in the 70s. And I think when I started watching baseball as a kid, I think he was like top five all time in home runs.
Well, you got to remember the Baltimore Orioles, man. That's Frank Robinson right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that was great. So may he rest in peace. All right. Want to thank Tracy Murray for joining us today, talking a little NBA trade deadline. And of course, tomorrow we're at the Cosmopolitan. Come on out and join us. Jim Fossil will join us. We'll recap Super Bowl 53. His son John, obviously the special teams coach. We'll talk to Jim Fossil and get his thoughts about the coaching matchup there between Sean McVay, Bill Belichick, and we'll get his thoughts tomorrow. Also, a little wrestling tomorrow. RVD, Rob Van Dam will join us. So come on out to the Cosmopolitan tomorrow. He's got a new movie that is getting ready to unveil here in a couple weeks. So we'll get his thoughts on that. Always good to talk to our good friend there. All right. Golden Knights coming up next. So hang tight with that. VGK at Detroit. Ryan Frank. They got the pregame show next here on Fox.